everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesarino back live after episode 6 of Survivor 46. Emergitory is over and we got a good one. Can't wait to get into it with my great friend. Dr. Evie Jagoda is here. Evie, how are you?
I'm so good, Rob. Thank you so much for having me here. Emergitory episode. I'm just going to get it out of the way. Tiffany invented the phrase emergitory. Okay.
Yes.
I said it.
Yes.
Out there.
Okay. Yeah. Shout out to Tiffany. Okay. She should go to a patent office soon.
Yeah.
I've been so excited all week that you're going to be here to talk with me about everything. And I think we have a lot to figure out here tonight in terms of where things are going on a night where it was all for Mariah.
Yeah. Except there's one vote for Venus, right?
Yeah. One vote for Venus. You know, I forgot to look that I
it was Charlie.
Okay. One vote. And I kind of feel like that was like the Caleb protection vote. Like the, okay, she's playing the shot in the dark. I don't want it to be me.
You got to do it. You got to do it. Someone's got to do it. But yeah, no, it was, I think it's kind of a fun episode where the vote ended up being so straightforward, but it was so much interesting stuff that came up leading up to it. And I feel like the game is still so open moving forward from here.
Okay. Well, we'll break it all down. We'll take your questions later on. On Thursday, I will be talking with Mariah and hear what she has to say about everything. And then we'll have Stephen Fish back for the living know-it-alls.
You don't want to be a dead know-it-all, Rob.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I'd rather be a living fool than a dead know-it-all, but we will talk about everything with Stephen slightly earlier time, 1:30 p.m. on Thursday, okay? A little bit earlier than we've been doing them normally. Okay, Evie, how are you doing?
Well, you know, Rob, I recently got a big weight off my chest. I had gender-affirming top surgery recently, and I'm feeling amazing about that. And I've been pretty much sitting around with nothing to do, so it's the perfect time to get deep into Survivor again, and thrilled to talk to you.
You had an amazing Instagram post on Sunday. So, you know, incredible job with that. And so, so glad you're up for coming on and talking some Survivor with us tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, it means a lot.
Evie, how are you enjoying Survivor 46?
You know, I am really liking it. You know, I have to tell you something, Ram. I've honestly been a little bit of a casual in the new era of Survivor, honestly. Like, you know, always watching Survivor was like a high energy activity for me. And then you go on the show and it's like it's not chill to watch it. You know, it's like I'm like doing a thing. I'm like watching Survivor that's like stressful. So I kind of like faded in and out of the last couple seasons, but I've been like in on 46. And you know, it's got a lot of personalities, a lot of like, it's a little different than some of the other seasons, a little less like game body. You got some Banus, like you got some Tims. Mm-hmm. People like that, I feel like, are playing a little different than some of our classic GameBot new era type. So I'm having fun.
Yeah, I feel like this is not a GameBot season.
No, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of like, and like everyone's like, kind of, like even like Q, he's like very like in some sense, like he's strategy, but he's like making some like interesting choices, like the Jelinski thing, like he's got his like work ethic stuff. Like we got some like very interesting characters here.
It seems like, you know, Q has a couple of like different triggers that if somebody like sets it off, like that's it. Jelinski wanted to quit the challenge. That's it. Okay. Mariah, her favorite player is Aubrey. She's got to go.
You're out. Rob, what is the least threatening player to say? Like, what do you go for?
Banu. Yeah.
But I was trying to remember what people said their favorite Survivor player was. I feel like I really remember that Xander said coach. And I was like, not that. I was like, I mean, it wasn't that threatening. You know, I was like, that's not that scary. But then I remember that Abraham said Philip. And I was like, you know. Okay, that's your favorite Survivor player, you know?
Well, that was better or worse, Philip?
I think that was worse because he said Philip because Philip was so authentic. And I was like, that doesn't seem true to me.
That does not track. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, that was the duo that was the like supposed South Pacific matchup that was going to be
Xander
coach versus Philip. And then Philip didn't want to do it. So yeah, that could have been the two right there. The Aubrey thing was so interesting. And I really feel like tonight I want to say justice for Mariah. because I really feel like that it was an interesting night for me, because I really felt like that I thought Venus was going home up until Mariah played the shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like that out of everything I've learned about the Mergatory, and and I've studied this, Evie, over the, and you know, you know, I've looked at every single one of these, and I really felt like, okay, Mariah did everything right that you should do in these, in this Mergatory situation. I feel like that Venus, who is incredible to watch, I'm so happy she's still here, but I feel like that Venus did most of the things wrong, or not in the way that you should do them. And I really felt like, okay, well, goodbye, Venus. And she's here. And Mariah went home.
Okay, I have some counterpoints. Like, okay, so I do think that Mariah honestly did not, like, very little wrong, but I do have a couple, like, nitpicks. But I think Venus did more right than people give her credit for.
Okay.
You know, like, okay, Venus, she's already at the bottom of her tribe. That's just, like, a lost cause. They have such animosity for her, and it's honestly amazing TV. Love Venus. So glad she's here. The scene of Venus and Soda fighting while Hunter was looking for the idol. Chef's kiss, Survivor. Okay, but Venus did the thing of, like, actually making it in. Everyone was framing it as, like, it's just like, is it Siga or is it Yanu? Or no, what's the yellow tribe?
Nami.
Nami. Yeah. Is it Siga or is it Nami? And, like, that was what they were weighing. Venus, I think the most important thing Venus did was when she said to Soda and Kenzie, she said to Soda especially, like, if Q doesn't like Mariah because she's a super fan, you're next. And I think that was, like, the only time either one of them started actually, like, making them as an individual in other people's self-interest. And Soda's thinking, that's right. Venus also went on to be like, I don't want to get a girl out. I want, like, the women to say, let's get Charlie. I think Kenzie was probably more into that than she was, like, saying. We saw Devin. It was like Devin, Q, Hunter, and Tiff are sitting there. Well, Tevin is like, she doesn't want to get a woman out. Like, we hate that, right? Obviously, you know, and Tiff's obviously sitting there being like, well, that's not so bad for me. You know, so I think Venus was, like, throwing a lot out there, but there was actual meat there.
Yeah.
Mariah was just kind of both being too closed off.
Right.
And, like, not giving it.
Yeah, I don't think Mariah was perfect, but I feel like that. So I kind of, like, had, like, this rubric of, like, how I was looking at Mergatory. And I really felt like that tonight's episode was like, okay, 100% is going to prove that we have these established rules. And I really felt like coming into the week, okay, it's going to be one of these, the Mergatory boot is always the person, one of the tribes is going to say, okay, this person is expendable. That one tribe is ultimately going to throw away somebody. It's never been yet a big threat who is ultimately somebody we got it. Not like the old days of the merge. It's somebody that is not fitting in with their original tribe. And then the second part of this, in all of these Mergatories that I've looked at before, that the person who is not safe, you are better off being Hunter. That not just better off, but you have more say being Hunter without a vote, but safe than Venus with a vote who is not safe. You're better off if you're in that group of people who has won the challenge, that you have a lot of sway, and anything you do, like the Ellie, you know, the person who is saying names, who's not safe, that it boomerangs back. It's like, who are you? You're saying names? You're not even safe. What are you doing?
Yep. Well, okay. And this is why is it known? We all agree Mergatory is bad. Like, what's the, I'm not so much in the sphere.
Well, so I liked it. But I feel like that the last couple have been, you know, now, I mean, we're getting to where the Kayla, it was going to be what? 12-0 for Caleb, and then he hit the shot in the dark, which kind of saved that. This was tonight, what, 11-1? I mean, Evie, I was thinking about this earlier. I mean, can you believe it was one episode of television in Survivor 41? Erica broke the hourglass and they did Knowledge is Power in one episode of television?
That's right. Well, do you remember? I mean, the merge was two episodes.
Yes. There was one. So there was one before that we wanted to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. But this is like the most cancelable take as a Survivor 41 player. It's like, if you're gonna do the Mergatory, maybe you have to do the hourglass. I don't know. Because, like, okay, realistically, the thing that was boring to me about this episode is that, which I'm not saying the episode is boring, but the flaw, too many people were too comfortable for too much of the episode. You know, you have so many people there who like, yeah, they win the challenge, they eat the feast, they're chilling, then they're vote, and they just like have all this power. And I think it was also a little unfortunate for the episode drama that like all the powerful people or many of the powerful people were safe and they're just like, oh, whatever, you know, in the merge in the hourglass, which was horrible and totally destroyed my game. Everybody was freaked out for at least some of the days, like freaked out.
Yeah. And also like, you'd never seen Mergatory before also. So there was some novelty to it in terms of like the players scrambling, but they all know what's coming now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that this plus one or the Journey Six Alliance is interesting, but you know, this was probably like the most Big Brother-y round of Survivor ever. Yes, of that you
I
had
wrote that down.
All of the people in power made an alliance.
Yes.
Then also were completely safe, and it was like a Big Brother 22 where it was like then all the people that were at the bottom were like scrambling and trying to say like, hey, like go for the people in power. They're like, no.
Back in my day, you did the challenge with the strong dudes, and then you won the challenge, but then you guys got
And then
out.
They would lose.
And then that would be the losing.
Yeah, you all would like that tonight if they made the strong people win the challenge and then made them like, you won and now you lost.
Yeah, that would have been, I would have loved to see that group. But also just in general, like, it is the thing I like least about New Era Survivor of how these, like, early, and it seems like, I don't know if the next episode is going to be a split tribal. Probably it's split. And then you said two people are going home.
They said two people are going home on the preview.
It's fun to have the chaos of a 13 person vote. Like, let us have a big vote. I want to see how that shakes out. Mm-hmm. Okay, wait. Back to I don't know. You're in charge of the podcast.
No, you are. Okay. You are. This is your night tonight, Evie.
All right. Back to the merge challenge split. Okay. You want to know? Okay. Obviously, Tiffany made a great choice to go with the strong people. Okay. But I don't know if this is, again, I'm a casual in the new era right now. So I don't know if this is an old take. I think Tiffany in that spot has to go where the other purple people are, no matter what, even if that was the losing tribe. Right.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, I mean, I feel like that's typically what has happened.
I feel like future players out there listening to this, I think even if that had been the weaklings tribe, she's better off sticking with them. Like, obviously, I'm projecting everything from my season onto this. I was alone as the only Yasa it was like me, Ricard, and then three Luvus. Ricard won the immunity. Mm-hmm. I was the only one from my tribe. So it's just like the easy thing. If it's going to be a Yasa, it's going to be me. If Ricard hadn't won the challenge, it would have been either Evie or Ricard, because it's just like the loners. Mm-hmm. You got to stick with your buddies. So
yeah.
I think even if it had been the weaklings, that was still
but
a move.
I also feel like that the people that are on the other side have more sway. So maybe you do want to divide and conquer. Like I know you went through the first one, and so you had not figured out like the rubric of like who holds all the power in that scenario. But
I think it's like, I think it's like in some sense they have the power, but they obviously also don't. I mean, it's still the regular numbers of the game. Like, you know, Tiffany and Xander didn't have any more power because, you know, like, so.
Evie, what's up with this, where this Yanu tribe comes in and they have the smallest numbers and they have all the power? What's up with that?
I know. But I mean, that is the classic now. I mean, I think like the galaxy brain on the, I mean, Malcolm and Denise, they proved it, you know, and it just like does end up being the thing that this small group, like, I mean, it couldn't have been more perfect for them to have a good three and then five versus five. Like, they just inherently are going to have the power. But I am nervous about this three because Q has gone out there and said to two other people in the game, my number one is Tiff. And I don't know that. I mean, Kenzie knows that, I'm sure. But I'm like, I feel like the hard thing, like, you'd think Tiff is in the best spot in the Yanu, maybe even in the game. There, Yanu has like a great position. She's got her two allies. If those
and
two
Ida
allies
want
to do different things, Idol Alicia, I forgot about that. Wait, is it Idol Alicia?
I think it's Idol Alicia.
Yeah, okay, that was embarrassing.
Even though my closed captioning called it Adalicia.
Yeah. Adalicia. If the two allies want to go different ways, which I really feel like Q and Kenzie might, it's going to be tough to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm very happy for Kenzie. I thought that there was a scenario tonight where Kenzie was the boot, where potentially if it was Kenzie was in the group that was not safe, that I thought that maybe Q might have thrown her under the bus as being the expendable person from Yanu. But I feel like that she was able to get her footing under her. I thought she had a really good episode tonight. And I feel like that we might get to see Kenzie get the play in the post-merge.
Yes, which I love. I love Kenzie. I mean, the whole Yanu tribe, I really do feel like these three characters are great to have in the game. And I mean, I feel like Kenzie has a lot of stuff.
They're the main characters now.
That's right. That's right. And she's had like a lot of willingness to go out on her own and do stuff. Like we saw that in the pre-merge. And I think like I could see her like, pull in Venus. Venus is like, it's so, everyone's like, ugh, Venus. It's like Venus is literally begging to be picked up. Like, I could totally see Kenzie scooping in a Venus and like getting something going. You know?
I'm worried about Venus though. And again, she's been great television. And so I'm so happy that she's there. But I kind of feel like that in the new era, and this is something that we've been tracking, I kind of feel like that this person who is like making these bids of, hey, everybody, let's do this. Hey, everybody, let's do this.
Yeah.
I feel like you get like a shot or two at it. But if it doesn't take, I feel like that you end up on that sort of like zero vote finalist track. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried that's maybe Venus's upside right now.
Oh yeah. I think that's probably what I was thinking. Zero vote finalist realistically, but hey, it's not so bad. You get third place, you know?
It's not so bad. But I think if she outlasts all the other nommies, I think that she would be like, couldn't you see her like being like happy when her tribe mates are getting voted out?
Yeah, exactly. You know, but the other thing, I mean, I think it really depends. It's like, she's so ripe for a come from behind underdog story that like could, if she can find some power in this game, you know, be a winning story. But the like in this current iteration with these cards on the board, it just doesn't seem like there's ever going to be a mass enough of people that she would be like the leader. But I think, is she like going to be the next one to go home? Probably not. Depending on the split.
It'll depend on the split for the for the split tribal council. Let's talk about this decision that they made of Venus the snake versus Mo the threat. And first off, who do you think ultimately made this call?
Yeah, that's interesting. Because like, so I mean, presumably, I mean, I really didn't like what Mariah did at the tribal with the revealing the bottom thing. I did not like that. But
I think that she must have been so like, okay, this is my like complete Hail Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. But presumably that didn't have an impact on the actual votes. Like her tribe was already voting for her. I mean, yeah, I was trying to think of that. Like who is the like link of like that group being like Ness's time? I mean, I honestly, okay. I'm biased because I love Charlie. He lives in Boston. He's a sweetie. I feel like he's the one of like, at the end of the day, Siga is going to make a decision together. He is the one who's at risk from them. We saw him in his confessional being like, end of the day, if Mo needs to go for me to stay, that's what needs to happen. I could see him being like, at the end of the day, it's the least risky thing for him to just pile on Mo. We know that'll be then what happens, safe and sound. We're good to go. Mm-hmm. And he obviously went the safety route of voting for Venus to have that extra vote there. So I don't know. I mean, I could see, I think he is the most influential person on that tribe. We saw a lot of Tim this episode.
Yeah.
But Tim seemed like pretty into the Mariah situation.
He was into getting rid of Mariah.
Or I don't know. He was like, I feel like at first he was pretty, he was taking her in a lot. We saw a lot of him like talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, they're also, I mean, wow. So much for Mariah. Maria and her women's alliance, really just bam, bam, let them go.
I don't want to bounce around too much, but I'm still I'm so confused about last week's vote because my working theory was Tim went to the journey, made this alliance, came home, told Maria about, hey, Maria, like I made this 6-person alliance, and that Maria was like, okay, well, I feel good about Tim now. He said I was his number one. So, all right, I'm going to cut bait on Jem here and play my extra vote. It turned out that he did not do that. And I'm even more confused about last week about why, what happened to make Maria switch, where she said in the episode, the plan was to stick with the women.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she has a good reason. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, not to dwell on Lost too much, but I really think Jem was just like playing too hard. And I think we can't underestimate how disruptive to the scramble it was that she was out there like measuring machetefuls of the distances and stuff. Like, I just think that probably contributed to an overall sketch factor that I think was more Jem related. But why the hell did Mariah?
Can I add one thing?
Maria played her extra vote.
I bet Jem was probably at home cursing tonight when she saw that that Hunter had to go find his idol under the steps.
Yeah, seriously, under the. Also, why did he wait so long? Lucky that it was so easy. Did it? He found it last. I don't.
He found it last week, and then I have to go. I'm going to go back and see. I feel like that what he said, the idol clue said, was not what he said it said last week. But he then, once they got to the merge, then he had to he would have an opportunity to go find the key before the boats came. And his thing.
So I guess he did have considerably the least easier amount of time.
Yeah,
he had the time stretch, but still. Well, okay, I do really like the 45 and 46, these like idols. I think they're so fun. I think this is a really great combination.
You like the multiple step idol hunt.
I think it's a perfect like balance of like beware, but it's achievable. And then there's like kind of a fun scavenger hunt, but we've got 90 minutes, so it's like not that big of a deal. I'm loving it. I'm actually like rewatching some of the episodes watching for the first time of Survivor 45. And I'm like, holy shit, this is great.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'd love to get your thoughts on that too.
Yeah. Okay. So far my take, Drew. So interesting. I know that's not what this
podcast is. Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
So, all right. But back to Maria. Yeah. So it's kind of unclear what made her go with what Charlie wanted to do when it seemed like her initial feeling was, okay, I'm going to stick with the women. But then coming into this episode, then it was so confusing about why didn't Tim say anything to Maria about the 6-person alliance? Because it seemed like that you would tell her, right?
Yes. Tim is such an interesting character out here, like playing so chill, you know? And like, I mean, I have to say, I always was pretty, I feel, again, you project yourself into all these decisions. I saw Q is me telling, being so desperate for Deshaun to like be my ally because I'm at the bottom. I mean, my tribe like has the fewest people and, you know, Luvu is looking so great. And that's why Q comes in there and he's like, here's the plan. We'll do these alliances. And like, at the end of the day, Hunter and Tim have known the people on their tribe like so much longer than Q for this 1 second. Like it makes 1,000% sense to me that it's much more real for Q than it is for either of those guys. But the funny thing about Tim is he is into it. He just didn't do anything about it or tell Maria about it. And then also I was like, maybe he was lying. Maybe Ben is his number one and he was just not trying to tell Q that. But it seems like, no, he does like Maria. I mean, he's just I think a little too laid back for this game, but it's kind of working for him right now.
So. Very laid back. Although Q was like, but why wouldn't you say that? Like, that makes me very suspicious that why wouldn't you say something? And he said to Maria, he explained it like, well, I didn't want to force it on you. I kind of wanted you to meet them for yourself and see if you like them. And Maria's like, yeah, that's good. Like we said last week that, you know, for all these people, like options is great. You want to have this other alliance in your back pocket. Maybe you go with your tribal lines and maybe you stick with this other option. Maybe for Yanu, why it's working the best for them is that they don't have a plan B. They're kind of all in on this plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. And I mean, it worked out for them so well also because they were all safe. Like, I do think it probably still would have gone that one of the Siga or Namis would go home regardless. But I do think, like, they got lucky here that they were just also, they're all in the power position. No one's exposed. I think, like, okay, well, here's, you said you like it when I ask you questions.
Yes.
Who was going home if that other group lost?
So
I think it's Q.
Okay. It's interesting. I'm trying to think from who. So it was what? Hunter Tevin.
Devin.
Yeah.
All the Namis.
I think I would say it's probably Kenzie, maybe Ben.
Mm-hmm. 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 You think like one, because they're more expendable to the rest of their tribes. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that's basically like that. Like one of the tribes has to flinch and blink and say, okay, this, we don't care that much about this person. I think that really, I think what hurt Mariah the most was that it took too long for the combination of Tim and Ben mostly, and ultimately, you know, Maria and Charlie too, to throw out the name. They stuck to their guns too much in you know, I think if they would have seemed more willing, and this is kind of like a new data point, because I don't think we've had this before, that I guess it kind of came up last season. I don't know if you've gotten to Survivor 45 yet, but I have a little bit of a spoiler.
I recently watched the episode where Emily is at the swap. And this was the exact same logic she used of why she decided to go with Reba instead of Bello, because she was like, Reba's got all these cracks, because I guess they're talking about like Sifu and Jay and stuff.
Yeah.
Even though I don't even know that that's true, that Reba had more cracks than Bello. Like, you know, I can't wait to find out. But that is, I never really thought about that way, because I think you could have, I think it was kind of to Sega's detriment also that they tried to stay so strong, because I think that I was watching this with my girlfriend and she's like, who's the threat on Sega? Like, you're looking at it. There's no like obvious, like it's just a bunch of people that you're not like, oh, there's like the one threat. You look at Nami and you're like, Tevin is this social, like amazing guy. And like Hunter is like the star in all the challenges. Like if Sega had come in being like, yeah, we're together. We're like, we're the weakling nerd tribe against like this amazing Nami. I feel like that maybe had some legs to it.
You know? And I know it wasn't by design, but Venus actually kind of saved Nami here in this episode. Like Venus came in and was like, oh my God, these people, I'm sick of them. I want to vote with you. And then they're like, oh great. Let's keep Nami intact. Where Sega was the opposite of that, that they were like, nope, we're a united front. We're all on the same page. And it was like, oh, we got to break that up.
Right. Totally. Which like, Nami, be grateful to Venus. Okay.
Be grateful to Venus. And I wonder if this is the type of thing where for a future season, should a tribe project more weakness of like, oh my God, we can't stand each other. We're so dysfunctional, as opposed to Sega, which was always the vibes. Oh, the vibes are so good. We're so united. We're all friends. We're doing everything together. And I think that you make yourself more of a target by coming off as like the perfect tribe, as opposed to Nami, which came across as very dysfunctional, which kind of protected them all.
No, absolutely. And nothing makes you believe, nothing like makes you feel real bonded with someone more than them shit talking their friends, you know? And so like the other people, like you see like Tevin and Q like complaining together about Venus, like that's like actual bonding, you know? Like the Sega people are so like in their thing that I feel like they were not really like, not really making those same like connections in the same way that the Nami people were.
Yeah. Evie, now could you recontextualize the Survivor 41 tribes with that in mind, where of course, you know, you have, Ricard and Shan who come in together.
Yep. So it was Ricard. So it's funny because actually our vote could have gone so different in your history book thing if it hadn't. Okay. So we had Ricard and Shan, then you had me, Liana, Tiff, and Xander. So four of us that were pretending we were going to stay a thing. But the whole time we had this big crack between like, it was like me, Liana and Tiff and Xander kind of not in that, but also kind of me, Tiff and Xander kind of had our thing without Liana. So that's like, you know, this like fractury thing going in. Then you have Luvu completely intact,
but super dysfunctional.
But super dysfunctional, but not that dysfunctional. You know, they stuck together for plenty of votes there. So it was, you had the entire, you know, Erica, Heather, Deshaun, Danny, and of course, Nasir and Sydney, to add that to my 100 countdown.
on the speed run.
And so, yes, in the end, it was that the most, like in some way, so Sydney was expendable to most of the people on Luvu, but not Danny. But I like, so, and it ended up that Sydney went home, but the entire group, most people were going to vote for me, which really, if we hadn't done the whole knowledge is power flip around, would have been a very different type of vote to the other ones that you're describing. Because it was because I was a threat and not in this majority tribe, but I also wasn't expendable to my tribe, which is how I ended up getting the idol like almost played on me.
Yeah. And it would have been the only time that really like somebody who was a threat was the target.
Right. Well, and my mistake absolutely there was I was being greedy and I wanted to keep Sydney, even though it, in retrospect, I should have just been like, go for Sydney, because that's like the odd man out potentially in there. But it also wasn't so clear because I kind of thought she was more in there than it was. It's so hard. It's so hard, Survivor, you know? Like,
that's what why they say.
It's so hard. The tribe that stuck together, they were too united. So then that was bad. And then, like, you know, like Mariah said Aubrey was her favorite player and like that's bad. It's so hard. It's so hard.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Anything could go wrong. It doesn't matter. Or co-wrong in the Aubrey case. But, you know, that Q, I feel like it's really, I don't know where he got this Aubrey thing from, where Aubrey is, you know, a lovely person. But like, like he's talking about Aubrey, like she was this like strategic assassin. And maybe it's because I got to know Aubrey a little bit. Like that's not her.
No, I know. I think honestly, okay. I don't know Q. My interpretation, he looks at Mariah. He's like, why is Mariah here? She doesn't look like, he looks like someone who you'd put on a survival fitness show. What's Mariah doing here? She looks kind of nerdy. She's got to be like a super smart
nerd. She can't even jump.
She can't even jump, you know? And you look at that person, you're like, they must be a super fan nerd. Oh, Aubrey, there you go. Proves it. You know, I think it's like one of those confirmation bias.
What's going to happen when he talks to Liz?
I know. Not like any Liz this episode, which is a shame. We haven't gotten enough billionaire Liz content for my
Not enough.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Aubrey is just really not that scary. I think you have to take a classic. I think the best answer to that question is like straightforward, you know, like Sandra, Cerie. Yeah. Keep it simple.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. He just had like a very like negative interpretation of Aubrey.
The fact that they're like, he's like, she's so smart. She's so smart about the game. She likes Aubrey. It's
This was his quote. He says, Aubrey, she was setting people up left and right. And if she thinks she's going to set me up, she can cancel Christmas. That's like, who
is
was,
that what he said?
Yeah. Who was Aubrey setting up?
Wow. I mean, wow, canceling Christmas out here. I know, that's the thing. Aubrey, that's not really her thing. I guess maybe he just watched Edge of Extinction, you know? And he saw, like, the failed, like, lines from Aubrey, and he's like, that Aubrey, she's sneaky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I mean, she was a big target there as a returning player in that season. But, that was really one that just really was like, oh, she's an Aubrey. She's got to go.
Yeah, she's got to go. I don't know, dude. I don't think Q's got too much longer in the game, to be honest.
Oh, see, I feel like that he's kind of like heating up right now. I feel like I'm higher on him than I've been all season at this point. Just I feel like that he's come in and I think that really has been really leading this big, Journey 6 alliance. So I don't think that he'll get to the end. Like, I wouldn't pick him as the winner, but I really just feel like that as of right now, I feel like that his game is peaking right now and maybe he's peaking too soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he's just very, very exposed. You know what I mean? Like he like is already a super physical guy. It's very, very apparent. And he's playing like so hard, talking to everybody. He's got his sixth thing. He's like really like dictating the vote in a lot of ways. It also, another parallel to my season, a thing that happened, you know, Shannon Ricard, very much in that spot, the small group, they had a lot of power because of that. And it ended up that Shan was like dictating the votes to the actual majority tribe of like Danny and Deshaun. And they were like, this is so annoying. We have the numbers. Why is Shan telling us what to do? I think Q a little bit, he has a lot of power, but he doesn't have really the thing to back it up. I think like, maybe they end up going on like a Tika style thing, but I also think it could be the thing Tika had is that they seemed not threatening as individuals, you know? And like, I do think that Q just stands out, you know, as such a like obvious threat that I think one of these splits goes the wrong way and he's in trouble, you know?
Yeah. So it was a big deal for Venus here that Venus really wanted to make sure that one of the women stayed in the game. Didn't want to see it be Mariah. Really wanted it Charlie to go home.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the irony is that, I think that Charlie is like, you know, all about working with the women.
Totally. But I gotta say, love Charlie. Yeah, he's going to go with women for sure. But also, Venus, that was smart. I'm like, Venus is out here saying smart stuff. What if they'd gotten Charlie out there? That would have changed the entire game. Like if they had gotten Charlie out there, Nami and Purple are like, just like would have made like the best move ever, you know? But you're right that it's like too hard at these.
I understand what Venus is going for there, but I just kind of feel like that it's kind of like, I think that Charlie is a more powerful, and you know, we can see the board more than Venus is able to, but I kind of feel like that if I was going to like craft a path for Venus to get to the end, I think that Maria, I think, is the most important person in terms of looking at this journey six. She's the person who's like, I'm not really feeling it. It's fine. And I think that Maria, you know, she knows what it is. She's the person who could go to all these other people that are not in it. She has told us, Tim's not my number one. Charlie's my number one.
Yeah.
So if Maria has Charlie and then is able to, okay, I know I can get Venus. Can I get Kenzie? Like, I think that there's like more of a chance to build up the resistance. And I think that Charlie is probably more likely to be a bigger part of that than Mariah ultimately would be. So I know that for Venus that she would have rather have seen Charlie go out at this spot. But I think that long-term, I think that if Venus goes far, I think it's going to be probably with Charlie more so than what Mariah would have brought to it.
I mean, that's a really good point. And like I said, I really do think that the fact of the like plus one alliance saying they're plus ones is just like really valuable information that they gave away to each other. So I do feel like that. And yeah, like you said, Maria is not really as into it as the other ones. So that definitely could be a ticking time bomb for people to find that out.
We but have I do so it- much about Charlie's Angels early on in the season for it to have gone nowhere.
Yep. No, that's fair. I mean, I think the reason why I liked Venus saying that is only like that Charlie getting out is just such an impactful vote, like in terms of he's playing a great game, I think. So like that just like he's a big threat to win. But I do think you've got a good point that like he is the type that that she really could go with. And it's like at the end of the day, she probably should be like trying to get in with Siga because like Nami hates her. Like every single one of them hate her. So like you're better off really like getting in with the other side.
Yeah.
Man, what a 12 days that must have been. Those are people that are not mincing words. Like that was like they're fighting a little bit there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there was even that one moment and you alluded to it earlier where Hunter was going to look for the key and then Venus is like, so what do you think he's, what's he thinking about? So I was like, I don't know. Don't ask me.
How should I know? Yeah. Totally. It's so funny. I mean, it's the classic thing when you like hate your roommate and then like everything they do is so annoying, but like also you're starving. And so, yeah, that's what we love. Right.
Good but the thing that's also interesting is that I don't know if Soda knows this, but I think Soda and Venus need each other. That they they're the people and they don't know what they don't know. But the danger for that is not Venus, is not Soda. It's this other alliance that's formed, this Journey Six that's going to be targeting probably Soda sooner than Venus.
Right. Right. Which is like, I mean, what a beautiful thing that would be if Soda and Venus can get together. I mean, like I said, I really, really, really do think that conversation that Venus had with Soda and Kenzie was important. Like that general thing where Venus is thinking, Venus is there to play. Venus wants like the women against the men. Like that's just something that people can work with and like has like she has a viewpoint. You know what I mean? And like, I really like, that would be some good Survivor stuff if they can figure it out. I mean, yeah, we don't really know because like Soda, it seemed like Soda and Tevin are really close, but then like Soda and Hunter, not so much. And like Hunter, at least at one point, was like, I'm fighting with Soda to be like Tevin's number one. I think Soda is a smart social player and can see that Hunter and Tevin, it seems like, have drifted a little away from her. And that'd be so fun if she works with Venus to get one of them out.
Yeah, it would be. We just haven't gotten that point of view from Soda in the episodes. Like we really haven't gotten, you know, we've only got to see how Tevin thinks of Soda, but we really haven't gotten to see Soda's perspective on how she views Tevin's relationship with Hunter.
Yeah, totally. Ugh, that's what I'm saying. Everybody needs to be scared. That's what makes Survivor votes better than Big Brother votes. Sorry, audience.
Shots
this
fired.
Is the Survivor podcast, okay? Everybody gets to be scared except for the one person who won immunity. And like, that's what I don't like about the merge-tory thing is like, I want to see Tevin scared. We haven't seen scared Tevin at all. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
You know?
Not yet. Maybe.
Not yet.
Get that next week with the split vote.
That's right. Ugh, the stupid split vote. This is just my trauma. Like,
yeah, I know. Like, and I really feel like that. You asked me if I care about merge-tory. And honestly, like, I kind of feel like merge-tory, it's fine. This split vote next time is the what I really don't like. And I'm glad they do it at 12 and not at, and in your season, they did it at 10. Yeah. And then you lose the final 10 vote. You lose the final 9 vote. At least they do it at 12 and you lose.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the same thing again where somebody's not going to make the jury because they get voted out first next week.
Oh, that's right. I saw. Yeah.
Sorry. Spoiler alert for Survivor 45.
I saw that one. Sifu. That's what happened to Sifu.
Yes.
That's so mean. I hate that. Mo's not on the jury. You know?
She's not on the jury. Yeah. But and then they do the split vote. The first person that gets voted out won't be on the jury and the second person will be.
So it's like whether you made the jury is dependent on whether your other random split vote person lasted longer. That's so dumb.
It's a mean game. It's a mean game.
That sucks.
But I just feel like that we waited. We're like, okay, everybody, we're here. It's the merge. You're on the same beach. But like, we never get a real like normal vote until.
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Now until the final 10.
The most interesting, chaotic, like, I can't describe how overwhelming the merge was. Like, there's so many people. I had been talking to the same 3 people for a week. And then all of a sudden, there's 12 people. And there's, like, also a million camera people. And you're just, like, trying to, like, figure out what's ever happening. And then you're like, am I talking to too many people? Am I talking to enough people? And that's the thing. I do think I loved what Charlie said of that he was, like, trying to be a goalkeeper. Like that is obviously the way to play it as the not safe person. Like, that's so smart. I'm just like, oh, if there's a shot on goal, I got to defend that. But otherwise I'm just like chilling. I love that. And it really, like, I remember feeling so frantic. And I think about the people in my season who ultimately were like playing so much better than I realized, like Danny. Danny's always someone I think about who like was playing a much better game than I understood at the time. Cause I was always like, what's he even doing? And it's like, right. Cause he was in a really good spot. So he was not doing what Deshaun was doing, which was running around and making everyone realize that he was a big threat, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Survivor, man. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. A million different things to account for. Something that came up in the episode, I want to know, have you ever heard of this before? Mm-hmm. Venus was pitching, okay, name for a name, okay? I'll tell you.
She believes in it.
She believes in name for a name. Okay.
Yeah.
You tell me somebody, tell me the person who's on the bottom on your tribe, and I'll tell you who's on the bottom. Now, I feel like, was she going to say herself? I mean, that I don't know what if Venus had the name that was at the bottom.
Well, it's like Venus's name. I think Venus was like, I will vote for anyone on my tribe. That's my name, you know? Mm-hmm. But then everybody in the game, like at the merch feast, they all kind of subscribe to it, name for a name. Like they did it
name for a name from their tribes, but they didn't want to do it with Venus. And actually Mariah was even like, I don't know about this Venus.
Right.
She's too cagey.
I mean, it definitely is quite a name for it. Like it's just like a very transactional approach other than like, wow, I like you guys. Like, wow, we're really, this three, like we're really vibing. Like I don't really get the best sense from there's just a way to do it, but name for a name. Who knows? We're going to be watching Survivor 52 and everyone's going to be like, so we did the name for a name.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's funny how these things start.
Yeah,
Venus could be a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. Put her on there.
Yeah.
No, but it's funny. I mean, it just is so interesting how, and maybe this is like something people have just been learning throughout the new era. Maybe people are, you know, like you studying this of like, it's going to be the people on the bottom. But yeah, I think I would have expected a little more worrying about the threats, you know, but I guess like also like that group of people just didn't really have a super standout threat among them.
Right.
You know, and
Evie, I wonder if this has been the thing where, you know, the new era where maybe is this the evolution of where it's gone, where so much of the new era has been about anybody that's a threat. Gotta go. Mm-hmm. And have we reached the point where the threats rather than targeting themselves, like we've seen through a great deal of this new era, that this could be where we're starting to see the threats say, hey, the only way one of us wins is if we go to the end with all the threats.
Right. I mean, it's worth a try, but then, you know, you get to the end of the game and you've got an actual tough final, which I know happened in Survivor 45. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the end of the day, you do want to try to be the only threat left, you know? So I don't know. I don't know. But it's, I prefer that, you know, that's fun in some ways. Get, keep the threats together and have like these people that are really trying to play hard together. But then when they're just voting out all the weak people, it's like, are they trying to play hard? Are they threats?
It's the threats as determined by the challenge threats. The challenge threats have determined what a threat is. It's not necessarily a situation where the best game players got together and said, okay, let's, we're the five best people at this game. Let's go to the end.
Right. Which is another like kind of annoying thing about the mergatory thing where it's just like now when you don't even flip the outcome on the head, I mean, who could imagine that where the people just win the challenge and then they're safe, then it's just always going to be that the strongest people are safe for the first vote.
Well, you know? We opened talking about the mergatory challenge and then we really haven't talked about it, but it was just, it went as sideways as it possibly could have gone with the rock draw. Yeah. And again, it was, kudos to the Orange Tribe because it was very close. Just Hunter. He's just like, he's got all those puzzles
at
home.
He's got that puzzle in his basement. You know it.
He should do something with that puzzle enterprise that he has.
Yep. Just all on his own.
Yeah. You know? But in all seriousness, should they do a draft? Like, is there a better way to do this?
Did you see Eliza's tweet about
this?
No.
What did she say?
She was like, the great thing about the schoolyard pick, both you're more likely to have more even teams and you have people who are pissed because they weren't picked till the end, which was apparently like her, I guess, in fans' favorite.
They
and
love
that's
fun. The rock draws. They
and
love
the rock draw. The rock draw. And then the person just gets to bet on the obviously win. Like Tiff didn't have to do the challenge and then just got to eat and was safe. In my day, at minimum, you had to stay alone on an island for 3 days.
I think they feel like this is part of the dangerous fun of like, it's a bag of rocks. What could happen? You don't know. It's so fun.
Listen, this is the thing. And the ultimate danger in Survivor comes from the other players. Mm-hmm. That's just always going to be more dangerous than a freaking bag of rocks as someone whose game was blown up by several bags of rocks. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it just seems not a good way to do it. Last season, and again, I don't want to spoil the merch for you, but the rock draw was not good last season either.
No, I saw that. Yeah, again, a super obvious one. Katara guessed it right out, and you're good to go. It's just, it's just not that fun. Okay, but circling back, you know, again, I caught up. I did some homework in prep for this podcast, and I listened to. I hadn't yet heard your interview with Jeff Probst.
Oh,
first of all. That was amazing. So nice that he did it and that you got him. And it was such a sweet, great interview. And
thank you, Abby.
I just want to take a sec to say all this complaining about it. They're doing great. The thing that is so great about Jeff is like, he's not like phoning it in bag of rocks.
No.
He just genuinely, we disagree about what's more fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it is not from like the perspective of laziness or, or anything like that, like that they do it because they think that that's the best thing. I mean, if anything, you could fault them for it. They care too much and try to do too many things.
Right.
But it's definitely not from, you know, and I got to tell Jeff that like he is not phoning it in.
No. And it's beautiful and it's sweet. And, you know, it warmed my heart to see the giant ball back. You know, we were the first ones. We had to
it's
dig that out
of the sand.
It's a staple
of the new era.
Yeah. But they just have to like to push it. Do they even have to push it? They just have
no,
to
they have to
it?
Climb up the giant
Listen,
ball.
That's nothing.
I
digging
know.
It out of the sand was
Look
the
you,
most
Evie.
Was
Look.
Terrible. I'm one of them.
Your transformation is complete now that you are able to say back in my day we had to dig up the giant ball and push
oh,
it.
Your ball was sitting there. Oh yeah. Your giant ball.
Did you even have to break an hourglass?
It's so silly. It's so silly. But I just, that is one part that's cool. That is the thing I do like about the mergatory thing is that was for us anyway, by far the hardest challenge.
Yeah.
And we were the most depleted and it was fucking epic.
Yes.
To do it. And he's like, we earned the merch, but then we didn't.
Yeah.
But
then you didn't. I want to say like, I don't really remember like what they did last night. This seemed like the most like normal, like challenge than, you know, something like the first couple were just like so insanely tough.
Yeah. I think this was pretty much the same as 45. It was a different challenge, puzzle situation, but the first couple were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. the feast also was not at the sanctuary. It was at the beach with everybody. Have they done that before?
Oh, I couldn't figure out where it was. It was just like on the side.
It seemed like it was on the side because they all walked back together. I feel like that in the past, we've had like this awkward moments where it's like the losers are back at the camp and like, okay, well, when do you think they're going to get back? What should we do? They all sort of came back together and then they ate. I was waiting for somebody from the losers to come up and like, they're like, hey, can we ask you guys a question?
Yeah, right. I know it's so awkward, the being right there. We had one, the reward challenge that I won where I did the puzzle really fast. Mm-hmm. That was one where it was like, we had a plate of sandwiches and we were just supposed to go eat it like somewhere else. It's so awkward. Those moments of like being like with the people that aren't going to get to eat and then you're about to go. And the merge feast. I mean, yeah. And that's so sad. The other people don't get the merge feast. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it takes a little bit of like the pep.
Gotta earn it. You gotta earn everything.
But you can. But they can just never earn it. Like, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you was the Flint? Remind me. It's 541. Was that all? That was part of it. You didn't win
that
immunity.
That
was always part of it.
Sorry for you. Was there?
Sorry for you. It was all there.
Have you noticed? He's also doing this thing now of like really trying to make it a thing of like, if you didn't win, you're the what?
Losers.
We know about that new catchphrase. No, that was there, but no one had the intense suffering that Yanni had because we all succeeded in the sweat versus savvy. We all got it. So Yasa, even though we then lost the next two immunities, we always had our fire going from the beginning. So that really, gosh, that is rough. Mm-hmm. 12 days without fire. It's so cold, and then you have no way like we would literally, on the nights when it rained, we had a really good like shelter for our fire, and we would just literally like sleep next to it, you know, like that sucks. Poor Yanni.
Sorry for yous. Yep.
What are they? The losers.
The losers, also known as Yanu tribe. Abby, let's take some questions from the audience. We got a bunch. Okay, and let's see. How about a question about, is it time to retire the big boulder at the challenge? No, it's a staple.
No, big boulder forever. Okay. Me and that big boulder, we're connected. Mm-hmm. Bits of my skin are probably still on it somewhere. So no, big boulder there, other parts of the Murgatory I could leave personally.
Yeah. Okay. How about a question from, Paolo, where does Venus go from here? Her edit is so substantial.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think, is Venus likely to be a target when we get to the groups of six?
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't think she's going to be like a target per se, but I think she could. I think her worst case is she is in a group that they all like each other and then she's just.
Or is with a lot of people from NAMI.
Right. Exactly. Well, a lot of people that like each other except for her.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, yeah, actually swapping with NAMI is probably her worst case scenario. But I think if she gets with any other like mixture of people, she's just like such an obvious vote to be with someone. And she's so ready to vote out one of those NAMI. I mean, I honestly want to break up some of these things. Like that would be such a surprise, you know, like get someone out of there. Use Venus. I want Venus to go far. I mean, I do think realistically we're looking at zero vote finalist upside, but great. So many of our zero vote finalists have been iconic, legendary know-it-alls even,
living know-it-alls even.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think? Do you think there's anywhere else? You think there's winner upside?
Again, I think it would be very hard for her because I feel like that, I don't think that she's going to be a person who's going to be able to put something together. I've talked about this a little bit over the last couple of weeks. I've been sort of like developing this theory of, and I mean this lovingly, of like, there are the people that are sort of like, that make these failed bids that I've talked about as also known as the losers. But then there's also the nothings. And I think that you can go from somebody who is just sort of like a non-entity, like Liz. Like, and I think that you can sort of be Liz and you could just be like, okay, just like coasting along. And then all of a sudden, then you pop at the end and you can win the game from being nothing. But I think that once you are a person who is like striking out, I'm not sure necessarily what you need to do. And we've seen players.
Who are the failed bids? Give me a failed bid example.
Okay. Well, I don't want to spoil last season for you.
I know what happened.
It would be an example of somebody who was really trying to stir the pot, trying to get things going. Come on, everybody. Let's do this.
Is that what's going to happen for Jake? Is that where Jake is going?
That's where Jake's going.
That's where
Romeo went ultimately. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of
Xander a little bit, I would say, for sure. In some ways, a little different, but
yeah. And, you know, sort of like pushing from the bottom of, hey, like, come on, let's flip this whole thing over. And people are like, nah, I don't think so.
I could see that. I mean, the thing is right now, the thing to flip over, it feels flip overable, you know? So I do think
it's not too late yet.
Right. If she gets into like a good group in this six and they are whatever number it'll be, and they can take out a Tevin, that would be crazy. But like Venus is ready to go to make a move. And I think she could get into a group. Yeah. You know?
Once you get into that, like everybody, they can't keep getting away with it. Come on. Who's with me? Right. You know, like that person like never goes on to win.
Right. But I just do think it's way too early for that because there's just no them yet. There's no, I think ultimately that is what that's what Erica was able to do ultimately. You know what I mean? But, you don't know when you're going to be a nothing first or a failed bid, I guess.
But I feel like that she went more from like a non-entity and you were there. Like, I feel like she went more from like a non-entity to like emerging at the right moment, as opposed to the person who was like really like, hey, come on, let's get this. Let's turn this whole thing on its head.
Well, right. I feel like I was more like, come on, Erica, let's go. and she was like, not yet, because it's not smart. And she was right.
Yeah.
For her.
But you were too good at it. And then also that's why you had to go. Had you stayed ultimately, people were like, Evie's like, it's not going to take.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. I guess my point is, how do you, you just have to be able to do it. Because like my point was more like, I feel like she was talking sometimes about like, we got to flip it.
Right.
But then didn't actually go for it because she knew that was not right.
Right.
Because
you can't really flip it yet, but it's either she's got to actually flip it or she's on that trajectory of best case scenario, zero vote finalists.
Yep. As I said, I've been watching Survivor 45 and also my girlfriend just watched all of Blood versus Water, the original and the Philippines also. So I've been, around that. And I do feel like also if you become too much the talker but never the doer, then you get Monica Culpepper. You know?
Yeah.
When was the last time someone talked about Monica Culpepper?
Not recently.
Podcast? Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Doing it for Monica. All right.
Who's thinking of Monica, Rob?
Monica has to think of Monica.
That's okay. Right.
All right. How about Will? How do you feel about this? Will says, how does Evie feel knowing that they are the undisputed preeminent new era nerd?
I don't know that is true, but I mean, first of all, thank you, Will. I proud nerd here. I have to say, I think that there are much more prominent new era nerds. I mean, we got Carson, we got Brandon, a lot of nerds out there.
Your stock is up today, Evie.
That's, some puzzles, they're simple. They're simple and they're effective and they're free.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. How about Ray says, is it just me or can Q not turn off the teacher role adopted on Yanu? Is he starting to cause trouble for himself? Well, I thought it was so interesting and I was trying to find a way to tweet this and I couldn't turn it into a tweet. But when Mariah was at the tribal council, okay, and Mariah was like, look, I got to tell y'all, it wasn't unanimous. I was that. And then Q that was like giving Mariah some words of wisdom. And he said like, hey, Mariah, don't let anybody mute your game. Okay. You gotta speak your truth. I'm like, this is like the exact opposite advice that he gave to Bonu.
Don't let anyone mute your game. I will now proceed to vote you out.
Yes. Yes. Bonu, how's everything going? Good. The vibes are good. I'm vibing with everyone.
I have to say, I do think that would wear on me, the teacher energy. certainly.
Yeah.
I definitely, you know, obviously you're getting the edits, but I do think in a lot of the conversations we saw, Q's doing a lot of the talking and other people are doing a lot of the like, oh yeah, yeah. And I just, that's not really the position I think you want to be in. Typically, you don't see Ceri's doing a lot of listening, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. But you know, the other thing is you just have to be who you are. You just like cannot be someone different. So like, he's doing fine. He's not Bruce, you know?
Yeah.
He's yeah.
I thought this was Q's best episode of the season.
I think outcome wise, yes. I'm really nervous for him. I feel like he's really exposed.
I think he's going to get picked off eventually, but I just feel like that this was the week where everything was coming up Q.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. I mean, yeah. What do you think about, it's so funny that he, as the one who was so upset with Jelinski, was the one on Yanu that like multiple times was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Vote me out. It's yep. me. And then it was ever like, no, not really. Like the Colby Donaldson approach, but it's like, he's an interesting guy, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
He said that he was then just going to try to say that to Kenzie. That was going to be his plan if they went to one more tribal council.
Sure.
But
sure.
I think he definitely had like a low moment or two.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, he did. Honestly, I feel like the first couple episodes, I mean, he had a lot of power in those Yanu votes. Like, even though, you know, Tiff ostensibly was kind of mm-hmm. like in that middle position, he was the one that had the relationships with yep. Banu and Jess. And, you know, he did great in the pre-merge for sure.
He did. But, you know, I love Tiffany's position so much more because then sure. she has, not in addition to Idalisha, she has, you know, basically Q out in front as sort of like the big leader shield. Kenzie is a little bit out in front as sort of like the social charisma shield. So really feel like that Tiffany is looking like she's in a great spot. Okay. Marianne Okich. Okay.
Oh, what's up, Marianne?
About to be married in a couple days.
Yes.
Who's
yes.
your non-threatening favorite player?
Wow. In the current cast, presumably.
Yes. I guess all time.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. I'll do. Okay. Okay. I don't know where he falls in this. I love Ben. We haven't talked about Ben enough.
Yes.
He's so fun. Like, and he's just.
Do you shred Evie?
You know, I don't personally shred, but I love that it's just he. It's like
do you talk?
It's a gimmick,
do you
but it's not
teach
even a gimmick. You know,
Shredvolution
canceled.
That's it for that.
Shredvolution. Oh man, I just love. It's just like he loves rock, and he's going to talk about rock, and he's like the rocker guy who's like yeah. super nice, like just a sweetie. I think he probably eventually will be like some sort of social threat, but I think he's in a great spot too. Like no one's looking at him. He's like, yeah, he's just a sweetie. So yeah, I like him a lot. Yeah, that's probably my favorite non-threatening. I think the thing is like, everyone's a threat. Like it's mm-hmm. like, you know, Charlie's a threat. There's a lot of threats on the board.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I would say my legitimate answer, like I was out there and, you know, I was with people who didn't know anybody and they were like, who do you like? And I said, my serious answer is my hero is Jonathan Penner.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, and he's so great. And he's just like an awesome person also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a perfect example. I mean, yeah, my favorite non-threatening player ever. I'm gonna have to just sit on that because I feel like
people
I'm
like, oh, he mutinied. He switched on his tribe. You can't trust yeah. him.
Okay, you know who's another non-threatening player I love? I love me some Nora. You know,
yeah, okay.
I love those kinds of characters.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like also just people that are who they are. That's what I like about Ben. It's just like mm-hmm. he's rock guy, and that's what he's gonna do. You know.
Yep.
Penner,
speaking of rock guy, Heather wants to know how slippery is that big boulder.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, well, we didn't have the element of being covered in mud, so I don't think it was that slippery for us. Also, we pushed the big boulder, and then we, I think, scaled some other thing. We had to climb it to get, like, a key or something, but I don't remember the slip. I remember being so hot. There was not a mm-hmm. drop of moisture anywhere. And anywhere, Rob.
Okay, all right. On that note, let's bring in, we have a special guest standing by here. Okay.
Wow, fun.
A man who's celebrating a big day today. It's the birthday of this man, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing well. Am I
Happy
the plus
birthday.
One in this alliance?
Yes, you're the plus one. We brought you in. Okay.
Thank you. I'll think about it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Taryn, earlier tonight, we were talking about this survivor vote as like, this is like the as big brothery as this gets of like the people in the power alliance are all safe. The people that aren't in the alliance that don't even know the alliance exists are all on the bottom, like begging for their lives, trying to say like, hey, go after the people in power. And you're like, nah.
Yeah, it's just picking off the like the people on the outs as a way to weaken.
Can Venus get HOH next week, do you think?
Yeah, right?
Seriously. Hey,
if this was Big Brother, Venus would have won the HOH at the end of this episode, and you'd be like, whoa, what's going to happen now? Mm-hmm. That's how Big Brother does it sometimes.
I don't know. I watched one season of Big Brother in BB25, and that's not normally what happened, you know?
Yeah.
You're just not watching the right seasons.
Oh, okay.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Well, they got the split house twist coming up next week. So what's that called? The
Direfest?
Direfest.
Oh, God.
So that's coming up. But Taryn's coming up.
We don't say that name.
Yeah. Taryn's coming up with Big Brother Canada right after this. It's eviction night.
It's executive eviction night. Ooh. It was a very special episode tonight, Rob. It was actually pretty good. There was a whole series of events that happened. Somebody went home. Well, maybe we weren't expecting to go.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah.
All right.
You weren't expecting, Taryn? Even you?
Nobody could have expected.
Oh, fun.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right, Taryn, you have any other survivor thoughts from tonight?
I'm a Venus fan. I loved her calling out like every true fact. Like, you remember those three guys that went to the journey together? Like, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I do remember exactly. That. Exactly. She's saying smart stuff.
Yeah.
She's saying smart stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's not wrong. Where's the lie? I just wish she wasn't saying it to everybody.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, tell us. Listen, tell maybe one person. Tell a
like
friend.
She's like the Bailey of Survivor right now. If you're watching Big Brother Canada, you know that reference. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
She didn't get any coaching, to be fair. A lot of the other players in this game got like coaching. Session,
that's right.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. All right. Taryn, okay, we'll let you get set up. All right, everybody, stand by for BB Can coming up right after this, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye. All right, so let's just take a couple more questions because we got so many here with Evie, and you have so much to say, okay? All right, how about this? This is a good question. Worth Playing For wants to know, Rob, what did you think about the fact that everyone had to compete in the puzzle?
Oh, I loved it. I know it says it's for Rob, but I loved it. What do you think, Rob?
I loved it too. They've done this a couple times this season. They did that also with the ring toss. Make everybody do it. I mean, you have like, you know, Nami, that they had Hunter, who was such a whiz at sort of like these puzzles and challenges from practicing them. And yeah, that's great for Hunter. But also, like, I think that that's like a real equalizer to make everybody have to participate in some of these things.
Yes, I completely agree. I do think this puzzle wasn't like so great for that because everyone could really see the pattern and like help, which obviously is nice in some ways, but it would kind of, if you're going to try to like put everyone on the spot and if there's like other puzzles, that'd be a little, but I really do agree. Make everyone do stuff, except if it's me and I should only have to do the things that I'm good at.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. How about, okay, Leah wants to know, why didn't Tim choose Ben for the Journey 6?
Yeah, that is such a, I mean, we really have not, Tim has talked a lot, but we haven't really gotten to understand his like lay of the land. It seems like genuinely Maria is the person he wants to work with the most, even though it did really seem like everybody else's perspective was that it was boys versus girls with Maria and Charlie in the center.
Yeah, you know, we have not really gotten to see too much of it. I know there was a secret scene at one time that Ben is not like does not talk a lot of game, and maybe Tim can sort of like ID, okay, Maria is the tough customer. She's the person, she had the extra vote. She's the person that I really want to work with. You know, she's got the relationships. Where Ben, he's great to be around, but is he really thinking about the game a lot? Like, he's but is he that guy?
Well, and I mean, clearly he was that guy enough to Charlie that Charlie felt it was like really worth making sure he stayed. So like, but maybe that's the relationship, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, I think genuinely Maria just is his number one. He maybe should tell her, you know?
Yeah.
So that she could know that too.
Okay. How about, Ethan says, after last week's blindside, I really thought that Charlie would get the boot tonight. Was I as delusional as my friend said I was? Okay. Well, look, find a new friend, Ethan. That's not nice that your friend said you're Delulu.
Yeah. You can be wrong and not delusional. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes we're just wrong, you know? But no, I think honestly, I do think Charlie's in a really good spot in his group. Now the question will be how does Steve fare? But I do think that Charlie, he just has a lot going for him where he is really athletic, but I don't think comes off that way. But like, he is like a big like runner and stuff like that. And he's like super likable, doesn't have the machismo thing. So he's like very like accessible to people. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think Charlie should be the person that the anti-Sega factors come for, but I don't think it will take a while to figure that out. I think.
Yeah. I think that probably, it would have been a better move for them to go after Charlie. And I'm not really sure necessarily why they didn't. I guess that what's interesting is that this, Journey Six, mm-hmm. searching for the name for it. This Journey Six, you know, what it has kind of caused is like the tribes are at war, but they're also like engaged in diplomacy. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that's what makes this scenario so interesting. So it's like, okay, we want to take out one of your numbers, but okay, we're not going to take out a number that's really going to hurt. We have to decide like we got to get rid of all these people here. But so like, give us, who do you volunteer as tribute? That's the person. Right. And because they're like, we don't want to tell you anything. It's like, well, okay, now we have to take your person. But like, but we're still not going to take a one that hurts.
Yep. I mean, yeah, right. Because that's the thing. It's both. I think the Plus One Alliance is like having that. I by the way, I think Plus One Alliance is what I'm going to call it because that's just funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's that. And it's also New Era Survivor. No one's expecting this to be tribes forever. You know, like eventually people want to work with each other. They don't want everyone to be super mad at them. I mean, look at how Yasa totally screwed that up by both.
Yeah.
The most expendable person went home, but we voted for Deshaun because we thought that we could try to get people to see, hey, he's the big threat. People weren't ready for that. And that was, you know, a big mistake. So,
and really the person that it might be the biggest miss for to not have taken out Charlie might be Tim, because you give up Charlie, you still give up a Sega number, and you really lock Maria into this thing. And I don't know if Tim, the thing is that, you know, Maria and Charlie have done this hidden thing, and maybe they've done it so well that Tim doesn't even know that Charlie is actually Maria's number one. But I think that had it been Charlie, I think it would have been a great night for Tim.
Yes. I mean, well, and that's the thing. It seems like Tim and I guess Ben too are playing really slow, and like maybe Ben's like barely playing. Tim playing so slow, didn't even tell Maria about the thing. Meanwhile, the other, like, Charlie and Maria obviously have a lot going on. Jem was running around there. They got her out. Like, it's like very much like, I feel like there's a lot of, like, they're not playing the same pace of game at all, you know?
Okay. All right. Evie, and then we'll leave it there. Let me tell everybody about what else is coming up here. Okay. We've got coming up on a big Thursday, kick things off with the exit interview. And then we will have Stephen Fish back live at 1:30. Then Friday, I'll get into the Survivor Feedback Show, plus Shannon Gus, the B&B, the Purple Pants podcast. And then also don't miss YX Lost as well. Okay.
So fun. So fun. Rob, you got so much going on always, and it's just so fun and good. Like, what?
Thank you, Evie.
You know? What was the Jeff thing? It was 500 episodes? It was 1,000 episodes?
That was episode 5,000.
5,000?
Yes.
Holy God. The hardest working guy, you know, on that microphone.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to call it, like, work, but, listen, you know, I am here.
It's 11 o'clock at night. Like, I get it, Steven. It's tiring.
Yeah.
You know?
Tomorrow, The Amazing Race had its 90-minute episode tonight, and Justin from the Green Team is going to join Jess and Mike to talk about this, and Jess will have the exit interview with whoever got eliminated from The Amazing Race tonight, okay? Deal or No Deal Island, have you looked at this, Evie?
Okay, I haven't yet because I'm, like, saving it. I really want to watch it, and also I love True Blood, and do you know the host guy?
That's Joe Manganiello.
Yeah. He's a werewolf.
Okay. Actually. Yeah. I used to watch that. I didn't stick around for all of True Blood.
They're later. Yeah.
Yes. But I could, it's making sense now. Suki.
Yep.
Yeah.
Suki. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So check that out. A lot of fun with Boston Rob. Okay. And then Dr. Christian Yubicki joined Chappelle and Josh Wigler to talk about the three body problem over on Nothing But Netflix. Check that out as well. And of course, we got a lot going on for our patrons, including I'll be live on Friday at 3 p.m. I take calls live with the patrons, answering all of your patron questions and feedback. We had a great time talking about all this strategy on last Friday. We'll do it again this week, plus everything else in our patron podcast feed. We make it easy for you to watch all of the international reality shows with watch parties and more. And then we've got the all the community features on Facebook and Discord. That's at robinswebsite.com/patron. And make sure you subscribe. robinswebsite.com/subscribe. Evie, was there anything else that you wanted to bring up about tonight's Survivor?
Oh, man. I mean, I would love to keep talking, but I don't know, that I have much to say, you know? But great job.
You New make era. It's just so really effortless.
Thank you.
So great to catch up with you, Evie. Please come back.
This is fun. You know, thank you so much for inviting me. It's a treat. It's a treat.
Always. Evie, what else is coming up for you?
I don't know, you know, that much. But if you follow me on Instagram at Evie Jagoda, you'll see a mixture of Survivor stuff and political stuff. So that's what you're going to get if you head there. So be warned. And yeah, that's what I got going on. There's like trans stuff. There's Free Palestine stuff. There's Survivor. So that's what you're going to get if you go there. And yeah, I'm just watching TV. I'm with you guys, you know? Yeah, that's what I got.
Okay. All right. Well, Evie, thank you so much. This was incredible here tonight. Really appreciate everybody who joined us here live. Stay tuned for Taryn and the BB Can crew. It's coming up. And I appreciate all of your comments in the chat. I read them after every podcast. So please let us know what you had to say. Would love to check out your thoughts as well. And we appreciate it when you hit like and subscribe on the videos too, because we got plenty more coming your way. Thank you for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.